Welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church in Pampa, Texas. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from our Sunday service. If we can pray for you, or if you would like more information about our church, contact us through our website at cbcpampa.com. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Amen. Well, if you would, turn to the fourth chapter of Philippians. Kids up through second grade, y'all are dismissed to children's church. And while y'all are turning, there are some among the more perceptive of you have been wondering since last Sunday how we're going to make a whole sermon out of these last two verses that are left in Philippians. I think that's the first time I've ever had somebody cry at not getting to listen to me talk. And the short answer about why we're not going to, about how we're making an entire message out of these last two verses, verses 21, or last three verses, 21 to 23 of Philippians 4, is that we're not going to. What we're going to do this morning is a little bit different, and that phrase begins to lose meaning when I say it as often as I do, but just get used to it. I'm going to preach through these last few verses, then we're going to interact with the letter to the Philippians the way that the original hearers would have, by hearing the whole thing all at once. And it's my hope that this morning, now that we've heard each part individually and we've studied in depth each moment in this letter to the church at Philippi, that we will hear the whole as more than the sum of its parts. That we will begin to hear it as the masterclass that it is in unity, in humility, and above all, in the importance and the centrality of the gospel in the believer's life. So let's read these last few verses. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Well, Lord, as we look at just these last few verses and then as we recover the entire letter, Lord, would you speak to us this morning? God, thank you for your word. Thank you not only that you inspired it. Holy Spirit, thank you for inspiring your word through so many different men throughout several thousand years. But Lord, thank you that after it was inspired and written down, that you preserved it for us. God, thank you that you are powerful to be able to keep your word. And Lord, we usually use that to mean keeping promises or following through on what we say. But Lord, you not only do that, but you have kept your word for us. You have preserved it against persecution. You have preserved it against heresy. You have preserved it against history, from just the normal loss that might be expected across so much time. Lord, thank you that you are faithful, and that because you've preserved your word, we can know who you are, who you tell us that you are, what you tell us that you have done, and we can rely on your faithfulness. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. In this letter, we have seen time and time again moments where Paul emphasizes the unity of the whole church despite the physical separation. And here is one more of those moments. I'll pull this out just to keep my page from turning. I've got this blower right on me here. Paul, here at the end of this letter, that would have been read aloud to every church that heard it, first to the Philippian church, and then as it got passed around to other churches, and they heard these words of Paul the apostle. It's reminding those in leadership to greet every believer in Christ Jesus, to greet every saint. It's one of the beautiful things about Christianity that there are no second-class citizens, church. There are not the saints and then the also-rans. Every single person who surrenders to faith in Christ Jesus is a saint and a member of the priesthood of all believers. And I love the heart of unity that's here in these last couple verses. The saints who were with Paul, some of whom who have never met anybody in the Philippian church, some of whom may never have left Rome in their lives, send their greetings. They send their love, knowing that they are all members of one body in Christ, even if they've never met or never will meet on this side of glory. And the really fun news is that for now, our unity is imperfect. You know, we squabble, we disagree, we split into endless or seemingly endless denominations. But there is coming a day when our unity will be perfect. It will be complete. Whereas believers, we are no longer quibbling because we will have met the Savior face to face and he'll put all those things that we quibble about to rest. When he will be far larger than our disagreement over which color the carpet ought to be. When he will be far more important to us, when we will see him in his glory, and suddenly the things that we disagreed on are going to pale in comparison to his beauty and his grace. The things of earth will grow strangely dim. And when that sin nature that still causes division is utterly gone, and when every believer from throughout time, from around the world, is going to gather to praise the Savior as one voice, as one body of Christ, as one bride to our Savior. And that's going to be a good day. There should be a special bond amongst believers, church. Our closest friends should not be among the lost. Don't hear me saying we need to become hermits. Don't hear me saying we should isolate ourselves. We should care for the lost. We should love them. We should reach them. We should minister to them. We should be involved in their lives. But they cannot be our most intimate friends. They cannot be the people that we share those most intimate struggles we have, or with whom we share the most intimate struggles we have, because they can't understand what those struggles mean. We share something deeper and truer with our adopted brothers and sisters in Christ, even than we share with blood relatives. We share an experience of a grace that has redeemed us from our sin, that has raised us from death into life, and has reconciled us to our Creator. And these truths should create the sort of depth of relationship we see here. The kind of depth of relationship we see in the book of Acts with believers living life together day by day, gathering together, serving each other, serving those outside the church together, doing life together, all to God's glory. Beyond the unity that these two verses show off, there are a couple other things I think we need to see before we go back and read through this letter. First, this is a little tiny phrase. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. I think there are two encouraging things for us to take away from that phrase. It looks like a throwaway. It looks like just a note of, hey, this is who's saying hi to you. But the two things I think we see here is one, that Paul has so bragged on the Philippian church, has so bragged on their support, their love, their prayer, their sending Epaphroditus to come minister with him, their financial support. He has so bragged on them to the people that he's ministering to in Rome that they say, man, would you tell those awesome people that we love them too? I had never met them, but man, they've got to be fantastic, and I want them to know who I am. Go ahead and tell them that we love them. Tell them we're praying for them. It's a unity, and it's an affection despite having never met. But then think about this as well. Caesar's household's not just his relatives, but those who work for Caesar, his gardeners, his servants, his slaves, his stable workers, his cooks. Think about the encouragement to the Philippian believers. Under persecution in Philippi, and they hear that while Paul is imprisoned, Paul is under house arrest, Paul has no freedom, the gospel's taken root anyway. Even in Caesar's household. The people who ought to be most under the sway of the Roman cult of emperor worship are beginning to give their lives to Jesus. They're beginning to see this Caesar guy doesn't seem all that divine to me. And they're hearing who Jesus is and what he's done and what he offers. And they're saying, that sounds so much better. The power of Rome has no ability. Despite being the grandest society the world had known to that point, the most powerful empire, the power of Rome couldn't stop the power of the gospel from spreading into every nook and cranny of the empire. Finally, we're reminded of the importance of grace, not just at the moment of salvation, but all through our lives. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Not just at the moment of salvation, but now and every now from now until glory. Bad grammar, good theology, you get the point. We need Jesus' grace all the time. Just as the old hymn says, and we sang a revamped version of it this morning, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. This is not just a moment. So often this hymn is sung and we hear that, I come to thee, and we think that's the moment of death and the moment of going to glory. No, this is every moment from salvation until we go home. I come to you because I need you desperately with everything that's in me. There is no part of me that can accomplish what you have designed for me to become. And I need you. And Paul begins and he ends this letter with that focus on grace. Just as we began the service with a scripture reading, just as we will end the service in a little while with this passage. Church, we need to begin and end with grace, but more than that, we need to spend the middle focused on grace as well. The grace that we need moment by moment, and the grace that the Lord has called us to pour out in a dark culture. Church, we've now walked through the entirety of the letter to the Philippians. And we've done it in small pieces, but this morning, would you turn to Philippians chapter 1 as we hear this portion of God's inspired word all put together in the way that the original hearers would have heard it. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment so that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it has been my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by my life or by my death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but instead emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all these things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Church, I hope that as we have read this portion of God's word together, both this morning and over the last couple of months, the Holy Spirit has moved in you, has reawakened and revived a love for him, a humility before him, and a passion to serve. I know he has in me. If you're here this morning, worship team, if y'all go ahead and come on up. If you're here this morning, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, what better time to do so? What better time to allow him to begin a good work in you that he will be faithful to complete? I'll be down here. Come visit with me. Believers, take this time, take a few moments to pray for our church, that we will continue to grow into the sort of church we see in Philippi. Not perfect, but constantly and purposefully seeking to grow in faithfulness to our Savior. And then in just a few moments, after we spend some time in prayer, we'll respond to the Lord in praise. Let's pray. Lord, this morning as we respond to your word, as we respond to your spirit moving in us, may we be faithful. God, thank you that you are the one who moves in us, that you are the one who completes the good work you began. But Lord, we cooperate with Holy Spirit in that process of sanctification. And even as believers pray now for our church, even as those who need to surrender to a relationship with you come forward, God, I pray that we would worship you well in our prayers and our response.
Thank you for listening to the Cornerstone Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We appreciate you taking the time to listen and pray that you have been blessed by the hearing of God's word.